This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
So Republicans obviously seizing on this horrific tragedy at the University of Georgia. This girl, this nursing student, killed by an undocumented Venezuelan migrant. And they're seizing on this as an example of Biden's failure to protect the American people and to secure the border.
It's not Jake Tapper at CNN. And I'm curious. Jake Tapper there at CNN. I'm curious as to what Georgia's governor might think when he hears that. This is the governor. First of all, a University of Georgia alum himself, that's his campus. And this is the governor who had to pick up the phone and talk to the parents of the young woman who was murdered on that campus 5 days ago. Governor Brian Kemp with us now. Governor Kemp, thanks for your time this morning.
Hey, good morning, Tim.
You tell me. My blood would be boiling. My blood is boiling. What do you hear when you hear that someone like Jake Tapper at CNN says you're politicizing this?
Yeah, I would tell them that this is not politics. This is heartbreak. It's devastation. It's outrage. It's insane that this is happening in our country. And I've made the point long before Lakin was tragically killed, and over the last really 2 years, that we have mass migration happening at our southern border. And, you know, it wasn't. You know, people were saying it was political 2 years ago. They were saying it was political a year ago. They were saying it was political in September when we wrote the letter to the president, just asking, you know, who are these people coming into our country? What are their names? Where are you sending them? You know, and now the question is, you know, which others have committed crimes while they're here and haven't been immediately deported or, you know, kept in jail or some sort of detention where things like this don't happen? So, this is the least political thing in the world. I mean, the problem that Biden has is this political for him, because the American people know that he has dropped the ball on this. He's tried to pass the buck on it, and now the reality is hitting home.
Governor Brian Kemp with us. All right, let's assume for a moment. I know you've written a letter to the White House. I don't know if they've responded. You're asking for specifics. You're asking for particulars. What happened? How did this guy get in the country? How did he travel our country? How did he end up in Athens? You're asking all those questions. Absent any help from the federal government at all, the state legislature's proposing bills even as we speak. What can the state do?
Well, I think that's something we're going to continue to work with the members of the General Assembly, certainly the local delegation, Representative Gaines, Weedower, Trey Rhodes, Representative Trey Rhodes, Senator Calzer, again, and others are working on, and I've had conversations with the leadership in the General Assembly about that. I mean, there were things that were actually moving and being discussed even last year that are in part of this two-year cycle that are now on the front burner. So we're taking a hard look at those kind of things with them to make sure if we do something that it would be effective. And I know you'll be hearing more about that in the days to come.
You know, there's legislation already on the books. 2016 says you cannot be a sanctuary city in Georgia. But we see our government in Athens, other local governments around the state, doing the things that sanctuary cities do in terms of not cooperating with ICE, not cooperating in immigration detainers and holes and those kind of things. What can be done? What should be done in those cases?
Well, we're going to continue to follow the law here, but I think that's a very good question, and there's still a lot more, you know, questions than there are answers right now about, you know, how local law enforcement's dealing with ICE, and, you know, are they participating in the 287G program like we've had some sheriffs and local governments do in the past. I wouldn't want to speculate on those kind of things right now because we're continuing to gather the facts, and I know that's part of what the legislature is doing as well. My focus has been on these things, Tim. Never would have happened if our southern border was secure. It never would have happened if, you know, we had the presence of 2,500, you know, National Guard troops on the border from all over the country, states willing to help. You know, we participated in that with the previous administration, freeing up the Border Patrol to actually do their job every day instead of being overwhelmed. And the policies of this president are just completely different. I mean, this is what they campaigned on. This is what they wanted to happen to our country. It's only now in the last 30 days when the political heat is on them that now the president's going to go to the border. I did a interview yesterday, and they were, you know, they were playing clips of the president, his press secretary, of the so-called border czar, our vice president, you know, just a year ago saying the border's secure. I mean, the border is not secure. I mean, any common sense American thinker knows that there is a disaster at our border and has been for years now, and that's on this president and this administration. Regardless of what the Congress has or hasn't done, the president can take action. I stand ready to work with him to secure our southern border. I know a lot of the other governors do as well. Greg Abbott's having to do that himself down in Texas, and we're helping him because we are simply desperate because we don't have a president that will act on this issue.
I'm going to circle back to where we started and let you go on this one, Governor Brian Kemp. I mentioned that phone call, and add to this the list of reasons I don't want to be governor. You got to make that kind of phone call from time to time. Tell us about the family. You spoke with the parents of Lake and Riley. For better, lack of a better way to ask the question, how are they doing? How are they holding up?
Well, they're very strong, but, I mean, they're devastated. I mean, I cannot imagine, you know, what Marty and I would be going through, you know, as parents that have our youngest child as a junior at the University of Georgia, has gone to similar parts of campus to work out, a place where Marty and I both spent a lot of time when we were students at the University of the Intramural Fields and over in that area. I mean, to think about a mother's love for her child, for her daughter, and what that family's going through, they are devastated. You know, I cannot imagine. I would just continue to ask all Georgians to keep them in their thoughts and prayers. I know they're very faithful people, and that will get them through. But look, they're also outraged that this happened. I mean, I think they're very thankful that we're pushing to answer these questions because they don't want this to happen to somebody else's daughter.
Governor Brian Kemp, a very busy week, legislative crossover day coming up and all that goes with that. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thanks, Tim.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.